Hi, I'm Dan Dunn, the host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, a show that mixes history, culture, politics, famous people, and booze, and strains it through the cognitive mesh of my sozzled gray matter. Join me each week as I take a lighthearted stroll through the consequential role that alcohol has played through the ages, and how it shaped key moments in history, quite literally changing the world. For instance, did you know that Thomas Jefferson started the first U.S. wine company in Virginia with investments from George Washington and Ben Franklin? It's true. And if you're wondering whose winery sits across the street from Jefferson's estate today, here's a hint. What's orange, president, and has a very good brain and the best people. I'll also tell you about new stuff to drink, trends, recipes, and other things that are good to know. And I'll chat up celebrities, along with the movers and shakers of the adult beverage world. And since this is a show about alcohol, I'd like to remind you that drinking can cause memory loss. Or even worse, memory loss. Where was I? Oh, right. Plugging my show. It's called What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. It's fun, I promise. So come on, pull up a bar stool, and let's kick it.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull, Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern. Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is my bestie, Stephanie Dominguez-Walton. We talked and we talked and we talked and nothing was prepared. This is just us. This is how we are. But before the show starts, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode just for patrons every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal, where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Stephanie Dominguez-Walton. Welcome back to the show, Stephanie.
Hi.
Okay, everybody, guess what? I have nothing prepared. Stephanie and I are just going to improv the fuck out of this.
Listen, we are prepared because everything is an absolute shit show.
I know.
So like just pick a topic and let's roll.
Well, I want to have some fun too. So like I don't only want to cover the crap. But I'm just going to start by saying I'm having a difficult time because I have, you know, I have issues with my, first of all, I have issues with my neck and I have also issues with my shoulders. And so the last couple of days, I don't know what's been going on with me, but it's like they're seizing up. And I do all of these physical therapy exercises that usually really help. But right now they're not helping. And it's just, oh my God, I'm so drained. It's like, it's draining my energy. It's draining. It makes me feel nauseous. It's just so much fun. Yay. I love getting older. It's awesome.
It's a blast. You know what though? Speaking of getting older, like let's just be real for a second. I'm a few years older than you. We know this. I don't care. I'm telling my age right now. In 6 months, I'm turning 60.
Wow.
And yeah. And you know what? It is what it is. Mm-hmm. And I've decided to let my hair go gray.
Wow.
I know. And so I'm doing that. I chopped it all off like super, super pixie yesterday so that it would, so that it's showing through. And I'm deciding. And like I'm looking at it and I'm going, okay, that shit is gray. But it's not gray all over. So we'll see how that goes. I like it. I feel like R60, and I know you're behind me, but like let's just call it R50s and 60s are like the new 40s and 50s. Let's just say that,
Yeah,
right?
I'll go with
I'm going with that. And my mom
that.
used to always say, "You're 50 and my 50, like different species," right? Because we just live differently, you know? I mean, I don't remember my mom getting up at 5 in the morning and going to the gym 3 days a week, and then coming home from work and climbing the stairs for an hour and a half out, you know, outside. Like that's just different. We do things differently. And so I plan to live for a really long time if I can, you know, I got to take what comes at me. But I'm digging it. Like, yeah, it my back hurts sitting on the couch watching TV for sure. I have
Yeah, well,
to.
this is like beyond. I've been dealing with back pain since I was 31, but this is like taking it to the next level because it is fucking me up in so many different ways. I get like the other day I went grocery shopping. I was standing in line and I thought I was going to throw up because I just felt like normally if I mean, I don't want to be too detailed here, but there are telltale signs when you're about to lose it. And I started experiencing some of those telltale signs. And thankfully, it didn't come to that. Because I'm like, please don't let me puke while I'm in line at the grocery store. And I really didn't think that I would. It was just I knew that what it feels like is this, it's not so much it's a pain, but it's not a sharp pain. It's like this dull pain throughout my shoulders. And it feels like it's causing acid to be dumped into my stomach. And then it makes it so, and then it makes this, I don't know, it's affecting my throat because I know I have neck issues. So it's like all these different things. And it's like, oh my God, it's fucking hellish. And, you know, I mean, it makes me feel bad because I don't have stamina like I used to. The thing that really worries me, and I have to do something about it because I've noticed now for the last year, which started last year, and I've been finding ways around it where I can do physical therapy exercises and things like that. But honestly, it's the way I work, and I'm trying to figure out an alternative way to work. But what it's doing to me ultimately is if I go out during the day and I just go shopping and say, I go to four or five different stores, I'm going to get this here and that here. By the time I come home, I'm a fucking mess. I feel so tired, I can't even describe it to you. I'm mentally and physically done. And that's bad because I'm going to be 57 in July. I'm not old enough to be feeling like this yet. So it is definitely coming from the pain because pain will cause all this other shit in your body, you know. So
For
that's, you
sure.
know, and it's like I get nervous sometimes. I think, am I dying? Am I dying? It's like, no, I'm not dying. I'm just experiencing this pain and it's just really fucking with me. And I'm gonna have to figure something out because I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm online all day. So I have to find out how to sit. Ugh. So
Do you
anyway.
have a I have a standing desk at home, and we
I do. I
actually
just got
also
a standing desk. I just
it's
got
really
one.
good. You don't want to stand all day. You want to break it up. Okay. And you want to have it so that when you're typing, you know how to do the ergonomics and all that jazz. When you're reading at your computer, and let's say you're standing, you want to have your screen at eye level
Eye
so you're
level,
not janking your neck, right? Okay. Listen
Yeah,
to
I do
us.
know that, and
This is our conversation.
I know. We can start talking about
Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, honestly, I've been
Metamucil.
traveling a lot, so that might not be a bad
So, okay,
thing.
what's going on with you? Tell everybody. Yeah,
TMI from
tell
Kimberly and
everybody.
Steph.
You know what I want? Okay, this is what I want you to tell everybody.
What?
Pritzker is definitely, you know, JB Pritzker, who's the governor of Illinois, is kind of a rising star right now,
Oh, yeah.
but there are some people out there who worry because he's a billionaire. And I want to say my say, but then I just want you to go to town because you know a lot more than I
Yeah.
do. But the thing is this man inherited this money. So, I mean, imagine if it were you. What if you inherited all this money? And then he has used his money which I'm going to let you explain for good. And then he's talking about billionaires being taxed, paying their fair share. So I don't think billionaire status should be held against him at this point.
Hell no.
So now I want you to jump in and tell everybody what you know about him.
Okay, well, first, this is so great because we just rolled in with no plan, which is perfect because when we talk to each other, we roll in with no plans and we end up talking for 2 hours sometimes. So here we go. The fact that you just brought up J.B. Pritzker makes me, like, I have this ginormous smile on my face, listeners. And also, I just love my Kimberly so gosh darn much that I have a huge smile on my face. Anyway, but check it out. So everybody that's ever heard the two of us talk before knows that I work for the largest Planned Parenthood affiliate in the country. We serve all of Mid-California and now the entire state of Nevada. And we've got 35 health centers. We see over 309,000 patient visits a year. That's why we're the biggest. And there's a person in this world who believes that abortion rights and birth control, there are a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. You've seen these measures, these ballot measures all over the country, right? Vermont, Michigan, Kansas, California, Nevada, where we have worked to enshrine abortion rights into the state's constitutions. And J.B. Pritzker has been instrumental in helping us get those measures over the finish line and passed. Wow. He uses his billionaire status for good. Mm-hmm. That's one way he does it. When we, now in, without getting too far into the weeds, Nevada was one of the most recent states to pass this, but Nevada's state legislature only meets every other year. You can only take measures to the voters every other year. So the first time we did this was with question six. That's what it was listed as, question six on the ballot for all of Nevada. And my organization was out in the streets, knocking doors, educating voters on the importance of enshrining abortion rights, birth control, and getting rid of the physician-only requirement in that state, meaning only physicians can administer any sort of abortion care. So when we do that and we allow advanced practitioners to administer that care, access increases by, you know, leaps and bounds. And because of all the bans in all the states across the country, it's really important for us to have increased access in states like Nevada, California, blah, 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 where abortion is still legal. Okay, so Pritzker helps fund that. Okay,
with his own money.
So when we passed question six in 2024, and now we got to take it to the voters again in 2026 because of that every other year thing. Because that is my state, I went out for a celebratory gathering with all of the supporters, elected officials, and people who helped us get that over the finish line. I was in Las Vegas. It was December of last year, and Pritzker's there. And I'm like all goo-goo because, because he's a badass, because I was at the DNC in his home state, and he unequivocally takes the microphone and says, not on our watch.
Yeah.
Do you further marginalize people who need this help, who are members of the LGBTQ plus community, who are folks seeking abortion care, who are people who want to make sure that their right to vote is still in effect when it comes time for us to cast our ballots and make our voices heard. He uses his billionaire status and his, you know, his pulpit as governor of the state of Illinois for good. He's on the right side of all of those issues. And when he stood up and addressed the crowd in Las Vegas last December, he goes, I'm a billionaire, but I use my money for the good things. And then he went on, no notes, from the heart, about why he stands up for the transgender community and why it's important that everybody has access to gender-affirming care so that they can live their full lives, so that any person who chooses to exercise their right to have an abortion, that is out there and available to them. So I, oh my God, I'm so pumped on J.B. Pritzker. So I, after this happened, I'm like, Oh, hell. We every year we do a political fundraiser, because we have a PAC. We do, C3 philanthropic fundraising, but then we have another side of the house, our pink side, which is the electoral and PAC work that we do. And so I'm like, well, J.B. Pritzker loves us. I'm going to ask him to come out and speak at this event that we're having on May 15th. So I reached out to his person, his chief, and he said, "Oh, let me ask the governor." The governor's very interested. And I said, "Okay, here's the date. Can he come out and be here in person?" Well, I just heard he can't be in person, but we want to help in other ways. And I said, "Great. Would the governor be willing to cut a 3 to 5 minute video talking about the importance of this work and speaking to our supporters and make a donation? Because I'm asking for that." And guess what? Yes
Of
was the
course.
answer. Okay, yes. And he goes, we'll definitely do the video, so that's underway. And he said, and let's talk about a donation at the beginning of May, which, so I'm like, it's going to be Chicago time, 9 a.m., May 1, and I'm in there with a big ask. Okay. And he and guess what? I don't know if it's a guarantee, but I know his heart is with us,
Wait,
and I know he's a billionaire.
tell everybody your experience meeting him.
Oh, okay. So I'm with my work wife, who is our director of DevOps and strategy, and she and I, like, this is what we do. We've got big numbers that we have to hit on, development numbers. We've got to raise, and now Blue Hat goes on the philanthropic side, the C3 side. We have huge numbers because we've got to close the gap between, we get much of the care that we provide is compensated through Medicare, Medicaid, private insurance, that sort of thing. But there's a huge, like, $30 million gap that we're responsible for raising. And we've got to figure out, like, I'm out there with a team of frontline fundraisers and we have marching orders. And I'm like, okay, guys, we got to be out there. We got to be bold. We got to ask people to double and triple their gifts. And we got to go talk to new folks. I always use the and tell two friends and so on. And like half of them get it because they're our age. And the other half are like, whatever that means. Okay. And then, so we're out in Las Vegas finding out how we're going to take this on the political side to grow that group of supporters. And there we are with Pritzker face to face. And I'm goo-goo-eyed because I follow him and I can't wait for him to throw his hat in the ring because, oh my God, I think he'd be an amazing president. I think there are a lot of people who would make an amazing president. But if Pritzker goes in, I'm real interested in hearing what he has to say and what he's going to do with his billionaire dollars. So I see him standing there and I roll up and I've got like my little like rock and roll tuxedo on and I got a magnetic pin that says abortion with a heart for the O on my lapel. And I always wear it on my heart side. And so I go up, hi, Governor Pritzker, because I fangirl this. I'm a fangirl. Like, these are the people that are going to change the trajectory of this craziness, right? And he goes, hello. And I said, I just want to tell you how much it means to us to have you with your huge platform and your influence and your billionaire status being on our side. It really helped you help move the needle with Question 6, undoubtedly. And it fuels our fire because we are out on the front lines asking people to do things that, you gotta, people are, we're asking them to get out of their comfort zones. We're asking them to dig really deep. And he goes, it's my pleasure. And I said, and I saw you at the DNC. I was there. You did such an amazing job. And you get that crowd amped up. And really, when I wake up every day, I think about people like you. And he looks at me and he points to my abortion pin and he goes, that's really cool. I go, it's yours. He goes, no. I'm not gonna take that from you. I go, this is how we do it. It's my pleasure to give it to you, but I have to pin you and I have to put it on your heart side. Those are the rules. And he goes, give it to me. So I take it off. I put it on his lapel. He holds his hand on it. He covers his heart and the pin. And he said, thank you very much. And I said, just keep doing this amazing work. And he said, same.
Yeah.
So then he gets up and he goes up to the pulpit or whatever, the podium, and he gives one of the most inspiring speeches, because what he says, this work, yes, enshrining the right to abortion and healthcare and getting rid of the physician-only requirement means that people have a safe space to go to exercise their bodily autonomy and to be, you know, live their lives. He goes, but then it speaks to so many other issues. And he talked about the transgender issue. He talked about safety net healthcare. Mm-hmm. And Planned Parenthood affiliates and clinics around the country, the health centers, make that possible for people, because we also in many of our centers provide full family medicine. So yeah. People who don't have, yeah, people, and it's based on, it's not based on anything really. It's like regardless of income, zip code, gender identity, immigration status, ethnicity, like you come in and we take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a kid, I'm sorry for being on this tirade, but this is what's happening in our world right now. When you give people the right to, an abortion, the ability to vote, the peace of mind that someone who is underinsured, uninsured, or is not, doesn't have the immigration status that would mm-hmm. entitle them to mm-hmm. Medicaid. Mm-hmm. So like we cover the Central Valley in California, Fresno, Bakersfield, Visalia. We cover the coast, Salinas, Monterey, Watsonville, Santa Cruz. The number of migrant farm workers and folks who don't have legal resident status, they still deserve healthcare because that's a human right, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we give it to them. And that's when you need a billionaire who's in it for the right reasons
right,
on our
yeah.
side. See, look, see how I brought it around to Pritzker? Proud of me?
I'm not at all surprised.
But this is our fight.
Yeah.
My mom's best friend, who is one of the smartest, most amazing, philanthropic, magnanimous, like she would give you the shirt off her back. She would go, okay, I got two nickels. I'm going to give one to Planned Parenthood or somebody that needs it, right? And then I'll keep the other to like keep the roof over my head, right? Mm-hmm. She said to me, Stephanie, give me my bodily autonomy and my right to vote. And literally everything else flows from that. And she mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. so right,
mm-hmm.
right? So as long as I'm alive, as long as I am able to rise up each day, this is what I am going to fight for. And I'm willing to lose my teeth, and I'm willing to get bruised and battered, because if we don't do that and at least come at it every day with that attitude, then there is no future.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I'm talking like when Deborah says, and I love Deborah, God, shout out Deborah, shout out to my mom, who is passed, and you know, a lot of the folks who listen know this.
Yes.
My mother, Lynn Dominguez, was such a badass. I mean, she and my dad, Joe Dominguez, raised us to value and really cherish our ability to vote and to make our voices heard. And they raised me, you know, I was raised by two pro-choice Catholics mm-hmm. who when in the 80s, I got to vote for the first time. They put that out there to me. And I was like, what? Of course. They were like, not of course. That wasn't an of course. And still sometimes isn't an of course in 2025, mm-hmm. you know, 40 freaking years later.
Mm-hmm.
But they always said, you got to make your voice heard. You got to, like, how does it make you feel? If an injustice is being done, how does that make you feel? And if it makes you feel uneasy, you got to say something, you got to do something. And my mom was like, I wasn't in the streets fighting for the right to have an abortion so that I could watch it be taken away from my grandkids
mm-hmm.
and
yeah,
from the
exactly.
rest of, you know, so
and
get
then
out
here
there.
We fucking are. I swear to
right.
God. Okay. You know, Friday night, I was just having a little bit of fun. I was posting, I don't even remember what I was posting, but I was having some fun and just talking about things that weren't important. And then all of a sudden, I see that now deportation is not the accurate term because, you know, the news came down that a 2-year-old, US citizen was, quote unquote, deported. It's like, that's not deportation. When you are a US citizen, this is your home country. You don't get deported. This is kidnapping. This is, you know,
Yes, babe.
child
Yes.
and human trafficking because we are paying. I don't know where I think this particular child was not sent to El Salvador, but I think that, you know, in the terms of Garcia, they are paying El Salvador to keep him over there. So this is human trafficking. And, you know, I mean, the news is reporting it as a deportation, but it's not. And what's happening obviously here is, you know, it's not, I don't even think it's Donald Trump. I think it's Stephen Miller. I don't even think Donald Trump understands what's going on or knows anything about what's going on. He's just a fucking idiot. And Stephen Miller is making all this happen. And I think they're pushing it because it's all about, they want to end, you know, birthright citizenship. And then, you know, we've got the fact that, 'cause I mean, this is all leading to a question for you. But we've got the fact that the Supreme, okay, here's another thing. The Supreme Court ruled against Donald Trump 9-1. But Stephen Miller said that he told Donald Trump that it was the reverse, that they ruled in his favor. So Donald Trump doesn't know what's going on. I mean, we saw him at the Pope's funeral asleep like a fucking idiot. I don't think that he is like president in name only. He has some duties. He does talk to the press, you know, but he doesn't really know what's going on. So
No.
anyway, we've got the situation
Well,
here
he's
where
stupid. He's
he's
a
stupid.
stupid person who's
He's
motivated only by his, like, how can he gain? That's
right. And
all he
that's
knows. That's
all
all
he
he's ever
does. How
done.
can I stay out of jail? How can I gain? And so basically, we've got the situation here where, you know, I mean, again, it was horrible. There was this because then once that news came out, because that came out on Friday, right after I'm like having a little fun, trying to just like not be upset. And I see this and it makes me sick to my stomach. And then I find out that there were 3 children that I don't know if they all had cancer, but this one little girl had brain cancer. She was 10 years old and they sent her back to Mexico. And of course that means their parents have to go with them. Their parents aren't going to be like, oh, sure, just, you know, send my kid off and I'm just going to stay here. So then the fact that that Donald Trump and his regime are ignoring and defying the Supreme Court, what's going to happen as a result of that? Because the Supreme Court has no way to enforce anything. They just make rulings. And then there's the DOJ, which Trump runs. So, or at least Trump has the final say in. So it all looks really bad, right? It looks really bad. However, and it is really bad. I do not want to turn any of this into something because I do think there's hope, okay? But right now it's so fucking awful. And what I want to bring you to, and the question that I have for you is, I feel like, you know, I was talking to my mom about this and I want to say two things too. I don't want to forget. Number one, Rachel Bitticoffer just said that when she first came onto the scene in 2018, you know, she predicted that the or yeah, it was 2018. She predicted that the House was going to pick up at least 40 seats, and she was right. And now she's saying that she thinks it's going to be that or more in 2026. But the important
By
part of
40
this,
seats?
yeah, the important part, but the important part of this is since Election Day, she has been full on doom. And she's been like, there's not going to be any fair elections. You people don't get it. This country is done and we're over. And the fact that she said that the other day, I think we're going to get more than 40 seats, tells me, I don't know why she thinks there's a shot now. I don't know why. And not a shot that we would win, a shot that elections can be trusted. And but for whatever reason, her tune is changing there. And so there's that. And then, you know, my mother also was basically her. There's not going to be any free and fair elections anymore. This country is toast. And if it ever comes back, it's going to be too long. And I mean, I do maintain that whatever damage is happening, all the damage that's happening right now, it's going to, in some cases, take decades. It may not take decades for everything, but it will take a long time to repair the damage that's happening. Because right now there's damage happening and we don't even see it. it's going to, something's going to, bad's going to happen, I predict. You know, we all know we're going to go into a recession, depression, whatever it is. And then, you know, there's going to be other things that we're going to feel. But because of what's happening with Doge and all this shit, we don't know what the big, I think it's like, it's like the house of cards, you know, it's like, it's really a bad situation. However, so, you know, I was talking to my mom, who was same thing, doom, this country's fucked. But she was saying, you know what, you know, I was watching Rachel Maddow the other night, and I don't know, Rachel had said something, you know, like, you push too far, and it gets, you know, you get to a point where you push people too far, and then they fight back. And so the other day, I think it was yesterday morning, my mother and I were talking, and she said, you know, this particular country, the way that Americans were raised and what they learned, that all they heard about was freedom. We have freedom. We're the greatest country on earth. Oh, I don't think we always have been, but you know what I mean? And we have this kind of identity. You know, I like to talk about manifesting, and manifesting is basically we identify in a specific way, and how we identify, not in every circumstance, but for the bigger picture, kind of plays out, because we buy into this, we accept this identity, and then we move in the logic and, you know, the behavior of that identity. So that's how we manifest things, with our choices and, you know, and all that stuff. And so, I mean, there's a woo-woo aspect, but there's a real world aspect. It's a psychological thing. You take on an identity, and, you know, if you take, like, I used to say to myself all the time, I know this, I'm going to get to my question, but I used to take on that I was a loser. I accepted it. I would say it to myself all the time. And now I was, you know, during the time I would say that I was a loser, I would still experience things that would prove to me, show me evidence that wasn't true. But it was, but there are, you know, there were other things that, yeah, I wanted and I didn't get. And maybe if I had looked at it differently, I would have behaved differently and achieved it. You know, like with my acting career, I had certain assumptions about myself, and I walked in that identity. And now if I look back and I think, well, what if I had seen myself differently and handled and, like, walked differently and chosen differently, then I would have had different experiences. So this thing here is, we have a collective understanding of who we are as Americans and our freedom. And we've seen a lot of these, you know, protests and Tesla, the boycott of Tesla. So I do think that the people are starting to recognize, the ones who've been asleep are starting to say, oh, okay, shit's bad, and we got to fight. And so my ultimate question here is, I mean, I'm feeling hopeful, even though sometimes I want to throw up from what's happening, and I'm not even kidding. Like, it turns my stomach, but I feel like, you know, sometimes I wouldn't have chosen to burn this all down. I didn't want to, but we're doing it. And then what happens, it's that pendulum, because things never stay the same, never. So as bad as it is, I think there's a possibility that we could turn things around. There's going to be pain, but, like, how are you feeling? Is my, that all leading up to that question is, how are you feeling? Where do you see hope? And what are you thinking is going to happen because of this?
Yeah. Well, I think we are going to take it, because I don't think they're going to be able to prevent us from voting at this point. Okay. I hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I just don't think that last general election was legit. I don't think it's possible for Kamala Harris to have lost the top of the ticket and have places like Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania elect Democrats down ballot. I just don't. And I think there was, but hey, that's over, and our Democrats did not feel like going after that. So I'm not elected. But what I would say now is, after seeing all of the hands-off protests, and God, I don't want to get off track here, but let's put a pin in the hands-off protests, and then I want to talk about senior citizens. I'm going to come back to that. I also want to talk about young people, because here's the deal. we're all going to show the fuck up in November of 2026. We're already showing the fuck up. God, I'm allowed to swear. This is not a professional podcast.
No,
I'm allowed
casual.
To have professional opinions. And let me tell you what, nobody at my place of business is going to go, ooh, Steph said the F word. Because guess what? Because guess what? Okay. But anyway, listen, I'm fired up because everything's on the line.
Yeah.
So I show up every time and everybody I know, yes, I live in a bubble. But look around the country. Look at Salt Lake City. Look at Boise, Idaho. Look at, did you see the picture of people on one side of the lake in Michigan? It was Lake Ontario, I think. Is this Lake Ontario border Michigan? Whatever. It was one of the Great Lakes. And then looking over to Ontario and people had bullhorns. They were protesting Trump and Musk and they were screaming at each other on either side of the lake. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. That's why I know we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because people showed up, not just in Oakland and Washington, D.C., but they showed
up
there
Iowa.
Too.
In Iowa.
But they showed up in Iowa. They showed up in Kansas. They showed up in freaking Arkansas. Like that was real. They showed up in Alaska. Oh, I believe, I think so. If I'm getting my pictures right, but I looked at all the things. Listen, we are done because people realize they've been used. They're showing up in Wyoming at I can't remember the woman who's the Congress member in Wyoming because like they only have two, but they get two freaking elect. They get two senators. Anyway, that's also completely jacked up, right? We need to change that up. So what people are seeing is this, we are not the United States government, these three branches that the maggots all have, they have control over all three, right? It's the as we call it, the anti-choice minority, the white supremacist minority, like these are not the people who represent the rest of the country.
No.
And folks in places like Wyoming are showing up at their Congress members' town hall and saying, you are not representing us. And now they're kind of like, I don't know that you ever did.
Right.
So what are you going to do? So that gives me hope. Whether they rig the elections and they're not free and fair, I don't know if they can do that all across the country. And what I will say is people are showing up in droves where they weren't showing up before. And that's making the morons at the top frightened. Maybe it's not scaring Stephen Miller, who has been just a vile cretin since he was in high school, you know, hating, telling the Latinos that were the janitorial staff at his high school to pick up the trash he threw on the ground. That's who's making the decisions. So stay frightened and fight back.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if they can rig the elections. But I do know.
I think it's harder. I think it's easier to rig the presidential. You know, I mean, and just real quick, Greg Palast did a whole, he had receipts. He talked about how they did it legally, how they threw away vote, and legally meaning because the Republicans, you know, created this fucking bullshit legislation. And so they could do it legally and they threw out a whole bunch of votes. And if you take what they threw out, they had Kamala at 286 electoral. So, and that was done legally.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to see it, Greg Palast did a whole thing on Substack about it. I think it's like a two-parter. And he has all the receipts to prove it.
Right. And so we are part of a party that didn't feel like going that deep and fighting back on that.
Yeah.
So now we're speaking to our Democratic leaders saying, what are you doing to ensure that all of our efforts and all of us showing up and hands offing it and showing up at these town halls across the country. That's red, blue voters. Like, how are we going to come together?
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums, and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
To get what we deserve, which is actual representation for the things that matter to us and having our voices heard, because people on both sides of the aisle, whether they're registered Republicans, independents, or Democrats, they're furious because this isn't what they signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if we can show up in 2026 and take back the House with a vengeance, maybe, you know, John Ossoff's up again in 26, mm-hmm. right? That's huge. He raised, mm-hmm. I think, $11 million in the first 2 months of the year.
Wow.
Like, it's on, motherfuckers.
Well, and
it's
you know, it'll be so much worse. Like, this is way worse than the first term. And I know that the 2018 midterms saw general election turnout. Normally, the midterms when Obama was president in 2014, mm-hmm. It was like the lowest turnout in 80 years. And I'm talking turnout. This mm-hmm. is on the voters. This mm-hmm. is not because of suppression. This is people mm-hmm. just didn't even show up. They mm-hmm. chose not to vote. So I don't know why. I don't know why people chose to stay home in 2014 and completely upset me at that. I remember I was so upset. But in 2018, the reaction to Donald Trump after 2 years was to get, you know, the however many they won, which now it's going to be a gazillion times worse because what they're doing is so much worse. And I want to remind people, because we always hear it's half the country. It is not half. First of all, half the country doesn't vote. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you can guarantee that a lot of these people who are not paying attention, they're going to start paying attention because it's going to start affecting them in ways they can feel, whether mm-hmm. it's the tariffs, you know, driving up the cost of food and the cost of everything, inflation and all of that. You know, there's going to be a number of different things, whether it's, God forbid, please keep Social Security. But it's like losing some of these earned benefits and whatever it is, I think more and more people are going to start recognizing. So I do agree with Rachel Bitticoffer in that it could be more because mm-hmm. this is not even 2018. Trump right. was bad then. Now it's full-blown fascism, authoritarianism. They are disappearing children. They are disappearing people without due process. And yes, there is a group, including family members that I have, who are justifying all of this because they watch Newsmax or whatever. You know, Fox News right now isn't even the worst. Newsmax mm-hmm. is worse. And a lot of these people are going straight to Newsmax because that's what they like to hear. Mm-hmm. But I think that was I just going to say, I don't want to forget what I was going to say, and I'm forgetting it. But ultimately, now I think that we're in a position where more people are going to be hurt. So what, mm-hmm. and you know, I mean, people who are uncomfortable are more likely to, uncomfortable are likely to participate. So when we hear half the country is MAGA, it isn't. It is half, it's not even half of the voting block, which kind of, yes, it was last time with Trump, but again, votes were thrown out. So the tabulation that we got was not accurate because they legally threw out a bunch of votes.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they did things illegal. They always do illegal things. They're mm-hmm. not always caught, but they don't always win, but they're always doing illegal things. So whatever illegal things they're doing, plus the legal things. And I think, you know, you add that all up, and it's not half the country. It's like a quarter of the country at best. And he is losing some of his support. People like my aunt, she is hook, line, and sinker. She has bought into this and she is all about America first. And she is 100%, I don't think she will ever be swayed out of this. Right. And it's upsetting. I have a very difficult time with it, but because, you know, the thing, I know I'm sidetracking and we're going to get to hands off, but one of the things that is so hard for me about this is that when I grew up, she was a huge part of my life. She babysit me. We spent a lot of time together. And even throughout the entire MAGA situation, she's never done anything to me. She's voted against her own and my best interests without realizing it, but she's never done anything to me. She's never treated me badly. She's always been loving and kind.
And
so it's really difficult for me because she just sent me an Easter check. She always does. She sends me an Easter check and a birthday check and a Christmas check every year. It's not a, tons of money, but it's a generous amount. And, you know, and it's like this year I just sent her a thank you card. I didn't even call her. Because my mother called her and she started screaming America first. I mean, she doesn't necessarily do that with me, but she'll do it a little bit. But they have a different dynamic. Sisters are different than, you know, a niece and an aunt. So, but it's just been really tough. I mean, it's been tough, but so we're never going to get that crowd. We just can't worry about that crowd, but they are a very small percentage. And I think that there will be MAGA who is, you know, torn away from finally they'll wake up because they are losing, you know, whether it's going to be a healthcare situation, they want to, you know, defund Medicaid, Medicare, all that shit. People are going to be personally affected. They can't afford their groceries. It's going to get to a point where people are like fed up and they're not going to be able to do anything anymore. So, but anyway, okay. So I do want to get to that hands-off thing, but before we get to it, we have to take a quick break and we'll be back after this message. Hey, this is Kimberly, the host of the show you're listening to right now. If you like what you're hearing, please visit patreon.com/startmeup. Check out all the different tiers and support me today. Thanks in advance. Okay, we're back. So talk about hands off.
Oh, so here's what I love. So the hands off thing, it was so exciting. You know, I live in Oakland. I'm real close to downtown where City Hall is, which is Frank Ogawa Plaza. And that's where the hands off rally was in my town. And then just across the Bay Bridge, which is, you know, less than 10 miles away, they had a ginormous one downtown San Francisco. They had them in Walnut Creek. I'm naming towns, you know, if you're from the Bay Area. They were in Marin County, San Jose. I mean, you name it, right? And they had them on college campuses. It was everywhere. And my mother-in-law, who is 83 and just as spry and sassy as you could ever hope, she lives next door to us. Across the street is this beautiful couple. They are 85 and 86, and these two women are my mother-in-law's besties, and they're just in it to win it for everything. Politics, you name it. If we ever have an event at our house, they are here. They love it, right? They support me at Planned Parenthood, all the things. So they decided that they were going to be part of their own senior citizens hands-off event, which was at the corner of, it was where these two sort of busy streets, College Avenue in Oakland and Broadway meet. And so my mother-in-law says, "Hey, Steph, can I borrow some of your protest signs? Or do you have any protest signs I can borrow?" And I'm like, "Step into my office." So we go downstairs into the basement and I go, "You want vintage? You want filthy? You want call to action? Like, what are you looking for?" She goes, "I'll take a little of each." So I pulled out a couple of my vintage, like, first Women's March signs that were filthy. And then I gave them like a beautiful Planned Parenthood Bands Off Our Body on one side. On the other side, it says abortion is healthcare. And because one of the women across the street didn't want to go full filth, and the other one was like, "Give it to me." So they took two filth and then they took up bands off. And they went down to this protest and horns were honking, and there were a few hundred senior citizens down there. And these women sent me pictures of themselves holding up these signs. And the one that didn't want filth took filth, and she was like holding it, honk honk. I mean, so I'm telling you what, these are the people who raised us. These are the people who literally were in the streets. They were part of the civil rights movement. They were part of the, you know, United Farm Workers boycotts. They were part of the Roe movement and getting abortion, making it legal. These were women who didn't have credit cards in their names, who couldn't rent apartments with, you know, as single mothers.
Yes.
Okay. Do not fuck with these people. These are the last people you want to fuck with.
Right. Yeah.
Because they are retired. They are ready to fight. They will make their voices heard. They may not have a ton of disposable income, but I'll tell you what they do have they are willing to put in, whether it's $25 at a time or five or a thousand or whatever, they are putting it in the right places, and they are actively seeking advice for the people like us who are in it every day going, mm-hmm. what do we do? Where can we make the most impact? And that makes me very happy. And you know, I say do not fuck with these people because they don't give a fuck. They've got, like, I like to quote one of my most favorite elected officials, and I'm not going to name her here because I don't want to, you know, whatever. She may not want to say this, although I've heard her say it at, you know, group level before, but no fucks left to give.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
it's
these
true.
Are people, yeah, because their grandkids are going without. Their grandkids say, Grandma, uh-huh. I really want to have a family, but will there be a planet for me to raise them on?
Yeah.
Grandma. Do I get to vote?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other thing. Young people, like mm-hmm. my daughter is pissed mm-hmm. that she didn't get to vote in 2024 because she was only 16 years old. And I'm like, honey, save it. Save that fire. Hang on to that fury. You know, keep showing up because in 2026, you mm-hmm. are of age mm-hmm. and you do get to make a difference.
You know, it's really difficult because, I mean, I'm trying so hard, and I know a lot of other people too are doing the same thing. I really make the effort to save my sanity, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, Bob and I are both struggling, you know. I mean, it's funny because the other day he said something like, I was having a really hard time. He was having a hard time for a little while, and then I was strong for him, and then I like lost it, and then he was strong for me. And he said, well, it's a good thing we're kind of like, you know, going on different schedules here with our, you know, feeling down about shit. And mm-hmm. it's just, I mean, it, you know, and I said, I'm sure one day we're both going to be at the fucking dark place and we'll just have to get through it together. But I mean, it's really hard to deal with life these days. I mean, I know when the election happened, and once again, you and I were a little overly cocky about it. We need to stop that shit. Mm. We need to stop getting overly cocky about elections. But, you know, I remember having a fucking pit in my, like this rock in the pit of my stomach for 6 weeks. It did kind of go away on Thanksgiving. I don't know why. It just, you know, Thanksgiving for me was a light, easy kind of night. So it just kind of broke what I was feeling. But every day I was sick to my stomach. And, you know, and then obviously Trump hadn't even become president yet. So then he becomes president, and then you're just kind of bracing yourself. And every fucking day, it's just an assault on who you are. Mm-hmm. If you're a decent person, watching what's happening, even if you're only a mildly decent person, it's an assault. And it's mm-hmm. just, it's so incredibly difficult. And, you know, I will say this, and I know that a lot of people are going to roll their eyes at me, but we all handle and deal with this in our own way. One of the things that I like to do, and it's not, I just want to be very clear at the beginning of this. I don't buy into any of it. I want to repeat this. I do not buy into any of this, but I like to go on YouTube and listen. There's a couple of different people, whether they're psychics or whatever, and they talk about this stuff. There's this one woman, I will share her name. Her name is Gia Prism. I don't even know what to make of her right now, but I think she's an mm-hmm. interesting character because she doesn't only talk about whatever psychic stuff. I guess she had or she has bipolar disorder. She was diagnosed mm-hmm. a long time ago. She's very upfront about all of this. Very articulate woman, knows her shit with the politics. And she said, you know, when I was younger, I was diagnosed with bipolar. And so she's had to learn to navigate that. And she has really learned how to go from a place of, you know, panic or whatever it is to neutrality. So, you know, and that's what you want to do when you're in that like fear mode. You know, it's, you don't want to try to go from fear to happiness. That's impossible. So right. It's like, but sometimes it's like, that's what I was doing at the beginning of the year or at the end of last year. And at the beginning of this year, I was fearful. It was like full on fear mode. And my goal was to get to a neutral place so that I know that like in cognitive behavioral therapy, they will give you little things to do. Like for instance, you could, you know, recite all the 50 states, because if you're mm-hmm. putting your focus on something like that, then you're taking your focus off of all the shit that's scaring you. And that's how you can kind of bring yourself down to a neutral place instead of living in this fear. And so mm-hmm. she talks about that. And of course, she's got the woo-woo aspect, and I know not everybody's into the woo-woo aspect, so I'm not necessarily trying to sell her. But for anybody who's interested, but she also, have you heard of the 4 a.m. club?
No.
Now, I've heard of this. She claims that she came up with a name for it, but evidently, and I heard this way before I found her, but there was a group of people, and I think it's women, but I don't know, there might be men, who woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning on election night going, something's not right. And I've heard people saying this, like it's a thing where all these people woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I did not. I was kind of up and I didn't really sleep very well that night. I was just, I think it was like the worst night of my life. But regardless, so I listened to her, and she thinks that this is all leading to a big massive change, like basically what my mother was saying, where we have the opportunity here to, it's going to be really bad. And I mean, this woman is not sugarcoating it either, but it's like she's saying, yeah, it's going to be fucking bad, and it's bad right now, and it's probably going to get worse. But the result of this getting worse is going to lead to a better country. Now, do I believe that? I don't know. I don't know. I have to see the evidence, right? I need to see the evidence of it before I can fully buy into it. That's pretty much how the humans are designed. We need to see that evidence. So, but what it does for me when I listen to this, it makes me feel more hopeful. And I mean, I would much rather feel hopeful than feel like I don't know what's going to happen. I don't. I don't know if fascism is going to take hold in this country forever. I don't think it will,
I don't.
but I, it could happen. I know it could happen, and I'm not being a fool about it. And I'm not. I'm trying not to be cocky about it. But it's like soothing for me. So I think it's like part of my self-care. So I listen to these things. It's not that I buy into them because honestly, I don't know. I've been to psychics in my life. When I was younger, I would go all the time, obsessing about whatever guy I liked or whatever it was. And they were basically a pacifier for me. But even then, I mean, I didn't, I absolutely experienced psychic readings that blew my mind because I didn't know and they didn't know and they predicted whole scenarios that happened, down the road that I didn't even know about. So it's not something they were, manipulating me or whatever. But most of the time, because I called so many psychics, most of the time it's not that it was always wrong, but it was like, psychics don't always hit the mark. Sometimes they do, but they don't always. So I don't necessarily buy into it 100%, but it soothes me. And I do, it does set me up to feel like, okay, when I look at what's happening, and I see the reaction to this regime. It's not an administration. I feel like, yeah, there's evidence to support the fact that we are going in a positive direction, even though what they're doing is so heinous and awful. And okay, I just want to switch this, and I want to talk to you about this, and I just want to see how you feel because what I'm starting to see, and I know it's happening. I know it. First of all, Russia is going to take advantage of this in every possible way. They always have, but there is this strong fight right now against, I don't know, liberals and progressives, or I don't want to say so much progressives because I'm a progressive. There's the far left that I do not identify with the far left. To me, the far left and the far right are the horseshoe. They're too close to each other, and they are, not to be trusted, in my opinion. But what I consider to be progressive is, somebody like Elizabeth Warren, where she is, she's got progressive ideas for the country, and she is the kind of leader that understands and knows how to implement it because she started, she created the Consumer Protection Bureau. They didn't let her run it because she's a woman. The Senate chose not to, but I mean, she created it. So she can back up her progressive ideas with action. So to me, that is, and it helps people. It's gone now because they've gotten rid of it. But still, to me, that's a progressive. But I'm seeing this fight now in the Democratic Party. And unless you're just straight up Democrat, that is happy with everything that's happening right now in the party, they see you. A lot of these people, not all, I'm not speaking for everyone here. I'm just seeing certain people that I know who are very, very, very loyal Democrats, and they're lashing out against other people, whether it's AOC or, David Hogg, or because they want to change some of the stuff they see as wrong in the party. And, you know, and these voters are getting very, very either defensive or, and I'm not, I don't want to be critical. I just, in a way that's like angry. It's not angry critical. Mm-hmm. It's critical in that I feel like if we can't figure this fucking thing out, it's, you know, I still have hope for the election in 2028 if, you know, because it's going to be so bad and it's not going to be Democrats who get us a win. It will be independents and never Trumpers. That's who will get it. That's who got us a win in 2020. It didn't happen with Kamala for a variety of reasons, but still, I think that in 2028, it will probably be so fucking bad that we will have the votes of the independents. But I think we're going to see, I mean, have you been seeing, I don't know how much you're online and how much you focus online, but have you seen this like fight that's happening?
Yes.
It's just, it's freaking
me out. I'm not online a lot. I know about it though, because I play in the political world too on, I'm a, on the board for Voter Protection Project. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, congressional and senatorial races across the country. But I don't, here's the part of that that is frustrating. And I struggle because mm-hmm. I want Democrats who are going to, who are like, I'm in this to the death. Like, mm-hmm. that's how important this democracy is. Mm-hmm. That's how important it is to me that I take care of and I stand up for and I do right by the constituents that voted me in. Mm-hmm. Right? Because this is democracy. Like, the founding fathers, and I don't want to laud them too hard because they were slave owners, but like, that's a whole other thing too. It just, but like, they were willing to die for it. Right?
Right.
And so I understand the importance of getting people in there who are going to just fight tooth and nail.
Yeah.
But I also think, please don't hate me for saying this. Please, 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 please. Is now the right time to pick these fights with the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, and it's only going to get worse. And I mean, I get it. If
I don't want to compromise myself or my beliefs, but is now the right time?
Right.
Like, it's
no.
The same as like, you know, do you tell Black women, can you step up again and carry us over the line?
Exactly. Exactly.
With no gratification, no recognition, no nothing. Do you tell the LGBTQ plus community, sorry, mm-hmm. we're not going to talk about gender, you know, transgender rights and gay rights and stuff this cycle. We don't want to center it on that. Do you want to tell women mm-hmm. who are losing their lives because they're going septic because they live in states where they can't get a DNC because they're miscarrying and they're, you know, like, please, how do we win when you're telling all the people who have been showing up, all of the marginalized people who have been showing up forever.
Mm-hmm. And really the ones who they're the ones saving our ass when we
young
win.
Young people, you know, that's where David Hogg's coming from. I promise you.
Well, and you know, let's not forget that he was a survivor of a school
that's
shooting
right.
and he watched
gun
his friend
people,
day.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
yes.
I mean, and it's like, I don't think nobody out there who is not a fan of David Hogg, I'm not telling you, you have to like David Hogg. And I understand that, you know, I understand the DNC is actually telling him he can't get involved in primaries now. But I honestly don't have a problem in a blue safe district if there is a Democrat, because I'm always going to go back to Illinois. I think he's a senator. I don't know if he's a representative. I think it's a representative, but it's Brad Schneider, and he's a Democrat. And I know that he votes with the Democrats all the time. So yeah, it's an important seat that we don't want to lose. But again, David Hogg was only talking about going in the really safe districts and primarying Democrats with other Democrats. That's all he wants to do. And right. then, of course, it's up to the voters to decide what they're right. going to do.
Which it's always up to us.
It's always up to us. But it's like, but Brad Schneider is a fucking piece of shit because he didn't give a shit about the ERA. And, I went after him.
Oh, honey, I know care. That. I know that's a way to get into your bonnet.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, and then one, he didn't want to sign this resolution. It wasn't even a fucking vote. It was just a resolution to get rid of that stupid deadline. This was back in 2014. He mm-hmm. wouldn't do it. And mm-hmm. then eventually he wanted in on a fundraiser, and there was some ERA activist who had the key. And she's like, all right, I'll get you into this fundraiser, but you got to sign the resolution. So he signed it because it benefited him. Those
Right.
Democrats, we don't need. Okay, yes, they're
No.
voting with us. So it's a safe district. If we get another Democrat in, they're going to vote with us. So, and maybe they're going to take it a step further. And there are people in our leadership right now who are not doing what they need to do. We've got, I mean, I am so fucking grateful. I just need a minute to talk about how much I love Chris Van Hollen. I wrote a piece. Oh my God, I wrote a piece about him, Cory Booker too, but I wrote a piece about him, and I think it was like in 2013 or 14 about why I thought he would make a great president or a great presidential candidate. And you know, he at that time he had he did this thing on the at the time he was a representative, and he was on the House floor, and I don't have the video in front of me, but there was it's on video. You can find it. Just go Chris Van Hollen, something about a GOP rule that they changed in the middle of the night. And watching him do this, he's so measured, he's so fucking smart and calm, and he's a dog with a bone. He doesn't let up, and you know, he fulfills the American fixation with white males. So, you know, he's got that box checked. And I don't know that he's going to run for president or anything like that, but I mean, he's so fucking great. And it's like, I don't even remember why I started talking about him. I'm just, oh, I know. It's because there are Democrats that are rising to the occasion. I mean, it's again, Cory Booker fucking went on a for 3 days he didn't eat any food. He went on a fast, and then for 24 hours before he went and stood there for 25 and a half hours, he had no water, no liquids. And I think when you're on a fast for that long, it's supposed to actually after a you know, after you feel like shit because you're starving, you get energy. So he researched this and he wanted to be able to go up there. And, you know, I know at the end of it, his feet were fucking killing him. But what he did, and Bob points this all
Excuse
the
me.
time.
Sorry about that. I'm sorry I sneezed.
Oh, I
And
didn't
I
even
sneezed
hear you.
again.
That's,
My
God
bad.
bless
I'm
you.
just riveted. Keep going because I love this man with my whole heart.
I know. What was it? Oh, no, it was something Bob was
You
saying
said his
about.
feet were hurting him.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember who was he. Oh, so the, you know, Trump has been basically with every poll he's under, and the only poll he was doing well with was immigration until Chris Van Hollen.
Yep.
And then you have people, I'm sorry, Gavin Newsom is fucking dead to me. I
Oh
know he's still
yeah.
doing some good things, but he said that this man, Garcia, who was sent to El
Was a
Salvador, was a
distraction.
distraction. That's,
That
I
pissed
mean,
me off. That was it.
that was the nail in the
Gavin,
coffin.
yeah, well, he's not going to run for president now, and I don't think I would support him unless,
I
you
mean,
know, I was
if he were the
forced
only
to.
option, but I
If
would
he was the
never
only,
vote for him.
unless I was
Yeah.
forced to, if he was the
I would
only
never
option.
in the primary, never vote for him.
But no, there are so many other people who aren't, you know, swaying with the wind
Yeah.
and, you know, what's going to get me the most clicks and blah,
And
blah, blah. I don't
those
give
are
a
the
shit.
Democrats right now. If you don't want to talk about LGBT, if you don't want to talk about women, if you're calling people being kidnapped and human trafficked a distraction,
That's a
you don't have a place in
non-starter.
our fucking party anymore. And that's
That's
how
right. That's
I
a
don't care.
non-starter.
And the thing is, you know, whenever there's a fucking football game, what do coaches do? They go back and they watch the game and they're like, here's where we were strong. Here's where we were weak. Let's fix where we were weak and let's improve on where we were strong. And when you
Yep.
want to do that in the Democratic Party, there are a lot of people because, I mean, look, nobody's more afraid of fascism than me, okay? If you're afraid of fascism, we're at least equal. So, but I can see where there are parts of the Democratic Party that need to be tightened. And
Yes.
we have some older people in our, and I'm not again, this is not ageism. This is about, I don't think they should leave because of their age. Sometimes their belief systems are not working. Like Chuck Schumer, the way he's
Right.
choose, it's not his age, it's his choices because we've got other, Bernie is, and I know people
Well, I
fucking
was just
hate
going to say,
Bernie.
look at Bernie and Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, and they're
They
older and
they're
they have a
resonating,
different.
their message is resonating with young people. It's
Exactly.
not
It's
an
not an
age
age
thing.
thing. It's
It's a
how you're
beliefs
viewing.
thing.
Yeah,
You're
it's an
right.
ideology. And so it's like there's this old school, let's be safe, let's be cautious. And they have it's, you know, it's an understanding of this country that worked at least for them for a while, but it's no longer who we are. And I think there's nothing wrong. I mean, I like having people in the party that are older and have had experience and they understand, you know, they've got relationships and they've got all the things. You know, we need those people, but we also need young people who have fresh ideas. We don't, we want a good combination of both. We don't only want young people who don't know how things work, and we don't only want the older people who just understand how it used to work, because things have changed. Everything in our country is different now. This is not, you know, 1990s Democratic Party America. It's not the same thing. And so, you know, I mean, it's just, it bugs me because I do see that there is this.
Remember those days, though?
Yeah, I know. It was so much easier. I fucking long for them. And I will always, always remember Kristen Johnston's tweet. And I don't know when it was, but it was like 2019 or something. She's like, oh, so I guess we peaked in the 90s. It's like, yeah, but maybe not. Yeah. See, this is the thing. It's like when you do burn it all down, of course, there's pain. There's fucking pain. And then there is a rebuild. But, oh, you know what? I'm going to just switch this because I just want to give it over to you. But aren't you just so fucking happy that Elon Musk is being hated by the entire world?
Yes.
Tesla's
Can
down.
I tell you something?
What?
I was just in Spain. My son's in Spain right now. Like, he is there with his, for college. He's there for a semester and studying abroad and living his life and living his best life, if I might add.
Yeah.
And he is there. I had dinner with him and his girlfriend, and they were saying it was insane how the protests were happening there and all over Europe.
Yeah.
The protests against Elon Musk and Trump in all over Europe.
Thank God.
So they're getting like that is like, it's not just here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because what I think the rest of the world wants is the good old America.
Yes.
Even when, you know, and I hate to say it, I'm like, let's not romanticize the George Bush era.
Right. No.
Yes, it was better than what we have now, but they were still doing
it was,
shitty
but
things.
Yeah, but it was leading up to this, though.
It was leading up to this. And they were at least a little more thoughtful and humane, but not 100%.
No,
okay?
No, I mean, they were torture. They were doing torture.
They were, yeah. I mean, like, that's where we all learned the term waterboarding. That
right.
You know, like, let's be real here.
Yeah.
But we at least, there was a sense of decorum. There was a value in having, you know, relationships and being a part of NATO in a way that, you know, I mean, all of these things. So that's gone out the window because a bunch of idiots are at the helm. And so anyway, I loved hearing that. My son's girlfriend was like, you know, they knew. He was like, my mom's crazy in politics, and so we all are, and that's how it is. And she goes, yeah, you know, I realize, you know, I'm obviously a Democrat, and that's how I vote, and I believe in all of these things, but it's kind of wild being here and not being, you know, not having all of the news that we get to consume in our faces every day, but just seeing how the world is reacting. And I love that, because Tesla sales have gone down 71%.
Yay, ha ha. And that's the perfect way to end, because, you know, I just looked at the time and I'm like, holy shit, we've been talking now for at least an hour. I don't know how long it's been, but I know we're just FYI, we're recording on Sunday. So I'm not exactly sure when I'm going to post this, but we record this on Sunday because obviously you have to work during the week. And, you know, I mean, I could just sit here for the next 5 hours.
Me too. Like, I was just like, talking. Oh, darn, it's late, because I could go for another 85. But you know what's great? That you do this, that you put yourself out there, that you devote yourself to just, you know, putting your thoughts, you know, in this audio form and staying in contact with the people that have been with you for years, the people who maybe are going to be new to this today. Hi. But like, this is who you are and who you have been as long as I've known you. And I've known you for,
I know, for
over
a
decade now, sister.
I know. It's been a
while.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I love that there's this outlet, and I love you, and I love
you're
talking
so
to
sweet.
You. You are. And it's just so great. You know, I'm going to tell people who are listening, like, sometimes I'm like, Kimberly, I send these texts that are like, please tell me what this means. What do you and Bob think? Help. But it's good because you do have your finger on the pulse, and then I'm in it in another way, you know, kind of in the in the trenches.
Yeah.
Because like we said earlier, everything flows from bodily autonomy and voting rights, and that's
Yes.
what I do all day long. And so I love it. I love every
Well,
single
I mean, for all
person.
thank you, thank you. But I want to give it right back to you because you are in the trenches. I get to have this cushy little situation where I'm just, behind my microphone. But you're out there doing things for people, and that's a big deal. And I mean, I'm not
I
taking away from
try.
what I'm doing from, what I do or when, but like, let's just get real here. You are literally out there fighting and working for people in really important ways. And so thank you on behalf of everyone for what you do. Because I mean, obviously you are not a bullshitter. My audience knows you, and we used to do the show together all the time, and you are so passionate, and you're the real deal. So, I mean,
Thanks, babe.
I genuinely appreciate everything that you do, and it's
Oh.
always good to call and talk to you, because even when I call you and I'm crying and I'm like and I have
We both do.
yes, you have made me feel better. So you make me feel better on the podcast and in real life. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And
Same, same, same.
since
Yay!
I don't know if you know your Blue Sky, I'm just gonna tell everybody Steph is on Blue Sky at it's Steph DW, and then it's BSKY.social. I don't know why they did that, but
I don't
so
even,
so
yeah.
it's Steph DW. Go follow her, and
Oh, thanks.
thank you for coming on. Thank you for what you do, and I love you, and I'm
I love
sure
you
we're gonna talk
back.
soon.
Okay.
All
Bye,
right, take care.
everybody.
Bye, bye.
I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.